Yes. 3 hours of ghost to ghost. Long time tradition here. Long time tradition. Let me give you the phone numbers first of all as well, okay? West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First time caller line, 818-501-4721. The wild card line, 818-501-4109. The international line, 1-800-893-0903. You can send us a text, and Tom will have a little quick ghost question. 818-298-6521. And our Skype line is open for you, too, right now. George97313. That's George97313. We'll be giving you the numbers throughout the night here on Coast to Coast, by the way. And with these stories, I want you to share with us true stories that you've heard, true stories that have happened to you over the years. It could be a spooky story. It could be an enlightening story that has to do with the supernatural, with the ghosts. I will always remember when I used to do my local show back in St. Louis, and I'm back in St. Louis right now for the holidays, except for a few little travel days for some events that are still ongoing. I had a call from an individual a long, long time ago, but it's a story I will never forget. He called me up. He said, George, I got to tell you this one. And he said, I was really close to killing myself, committing suicide. I just was fed up with everything. Bad relationship, bad job. Health was not as good as it should have been. Just wasn't happy. And I decided I need to just drive somewhere and find the spot to do this. He was going to shoot himself. And he said, I kept driving. And I kept driving and I kept driving. And I drove about an hour outside of town where I lived. I saw a little lake on the side of the road, little ducks, geese popping in and popping out of it. And I said, this is it. This is the place I'm going to do myself in. There's a little bench out there. He said, so I sat down at the bench. My gun was in my pocket. And I was reflecting. And all of a sudden, this old farmer sat down next to me. My gosh! And he started talking and talking and talking. But I got to tell you, the more he started talking, I began to feel good about myself. I mean, I told him I had a failed career. I wasn't in great shape. I really wasn't getting along with the woman I was dating. And he said, you could fix all of those things. You have the control. You've got the ability to fix that. Go get another job. Get a better relationship. Start taking care of yourself. Get healthy. I got to tell you, George, he said, after spending some time with that guy, I had to simply do that. And I took this and I decided I'm going to go back to where I lived and do all those things. I'm going to take care of myself. And so he did. And then he says, George, about a year later, had a new relationship, new job. I was in great shape. I worked out. I wanted to go back and thank that old farmer guy. Didn't get his full name. I didn't get his full name. So I went all the way back, and I found the town, of course, but I didn't know who he was. So I figured, I'm going to go to the barber shop. The barber is the place for me to go. And I asked, I said, hey, there's this old guy here. He talked to me about a year ago. And the barber knew who he was. He said, look, why don't you go to the hill? There's a white house there. Talk to his daughter. Oh, George, the way he said it, I knew something had happened. But I did. I went to the house, I knocked on the door, a younger lady came, and I said, "Excuse me, but I wanted to talk to your father. Barbara told me that he lived here, and I just wanted to thank him because he saved my life." And she said, wait. She said, "You're the fifth person to come up to my house and thank me for my dad. He died 15 years ago." That is a chilling story I'll always remember, and we're going to get to yours in a moment. And welcome back to Coast and Ghost to Ghost, and that's what we're going to do for you for a full 3 hours. One story per person. Give it your best shot, and let's start by going to Michelle and Powhatan, Arkansas. Welcome to the program, Michelle. Good to have you with us, and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you, too. Good morning.
Looking forward to this. So what do you got for us?
Well, I have a story about my brother. On December 8th of 2004, he died in a car accident, exactly 1 month shy of his 38th birthday. He had sleep apnea and fell asleep while driving and crossed the double yellows.
Oh, my God.
And ran up under a trailer of a big rig, and that broke his neck. Approximately 1 to 2 months later, I needed to run some errands, and I opened the door to my house and found my car running. This was a 96 Camaro with no auto start, and I was holding the only set of keys to my car in my hand. This continued to happen on a regular basis. That was one of the things that happened. Another thing was that the hatchback would open on its own. I would check it after the first couple times. I would check it before I even got in it. And sometimes it would be open. Sometimes it would open while I was driving after I had checked it. And that was another thing that happened with my car. Another thing was that the lights seemed to have a mind of their own. Sometimes they would come on, sometimes they wouldn't. And I worked nights, so that was kind of problematic for me at the time. They may come on, it would come on after about half an hour, but there was no rhyme or reason to when they would come on. I would do the same thing when they would come on as to when they wouldn't.
The communication from the other side, huh?
That's right. After a couple months of that, I traded in my car. This was kind of freaky coming out and it being running.
And did it happen with other cars subsequently or not? That's when it stopped.
No. I never had any problems before this. I bought the car myself in 95. And like I said, this was in 2004. Never had any issues whatsoever with my car. And then, like I said, about a month or so after he passed, that's when all the things started happening. And I tried to put it off, wishful thinking or just being freaked out anyway. But there was three different things going on. It was the car starting, the hatchback popping open, and the light.
Yeah.
They weren't all in the same.
All little messages.
Right.
I love it. And Michelle, hey, thanks for sharing that story for us. Ghost to ghost time. Let's go out to Jacob in Toronto, east of the Rockies. Jacob, thanks for calling. You're on the air with us. Go ahead. Happy Halloween to you.
Happy Halloween to you.
Thank you. Thank you. What do you got for us?
Yes, I was just wanting to tell us about this one time. When I was younger, my mom and me and my family, we lived in this one house, and I don't know why, but this one thing kept happening to my mom. Like, it was just really obsessed with her, and I don't know why, but like when she would come from the kitchen into the living room, she wouldn't touch nothing and she wouldn't touch her face or nothing, but always she would have 4 fingerprints running down her face like somebody touched her. And this happened several times the whole time we lived there in that house. And then, you know, we moved out of that house and we moved to another house. Like, you know, we moved further and further, you know, down the road, a couple years, you know, it didn't happen. And next thing we know, like 1 year in this one house that we moved into, it happened again. And it's just unexplainable and don't know why it keeps happening. And ever since, you know, those experiences happened, we've had others like happen. Like We've had clocks just fly off the wall at random times.
That's got to be freaky, Jacob.
It really is. Like, we had a holy water, and we had a priest come and bless, like, our house because our clock would just keep flying off the wall. It would fly halfway across our wall, like, our room from the wall to the living room. And, if you know, my dad always thought it was us, like, slamming the door and it flying off, but that would just hit the ground and, like, it fell off the wall. But this came, like, 10 to 15 feet off the wall across the room. And then that finally stopped when the clock finally flew off the wall one last time and it broke.
Did it appear that anybody in the family was being pointed at to get hurt or anything? Or was it just like mischief stuff?
I feel like it's mainly my brother and my mother, because my brother, one night, he was trying to sleep, and he just started hearing, like, voices and heavy breathing, like, right next to him, and he tried to get out of the room, and there's no lock on the door, and he could not get out of the room, and we're all trying to get into the door
Whoa.
To help him because he's screaming, and finally, the door just kind of, came to where
it unlocked itself.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there was no lock on the door, though.
Oh. Yeah, something was going. Jacob, thanks for that story. And we take your ghost text questions, and Tom's got one back in L.A. What do you got, Tommy?
George, this is from Charlotte in Dallas, Texas.
Why do you sound like a ghost?
Because it's Halloween.
All right.
Hey, George, do you think the dead have a consciousness on the other side? And if so, do they know it's Halloween?
I don't know if the dead know it's Halloween, but I do know they have a consciousness on the other side. I think the dead communicate amongst themselves. They communicate with us. And, you know, let me tell you a little bit about my thoughts on death. I think death is a process of living. It's normal. It's natural. And though it's incredibly sad, and I've gone through two sadnesses over the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a natural process of this entire universe of what we are in. And I think that the dimension that the dead are in, the souls, the spirits, call them whatever you want, it's a very natural thing. But I think they have consciousness there. I think they can communicate.
What do you think they talk about amongst themselves?
Well, I don't think they talk, Tom. I think it's just thought. It's just there. I mean, I don't think, you know, when you go, God forbid, I don't think you're going to go up there and think about how did the Kings do today in hockey. I just, you know, I don't think it's that way. Though knowing you, you'll try to get your free seats there for the season.
But let me ask you, like, my parents are now gone. Do you think wherever they are, they like talk to each other and go, I can't wait to see him again when he comes to the other side?
That's a great question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's that way. Would it make you feel better if I said yes? Probably, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So I'll say yes, but I don't know.
Thanks, thank you,
Tom. Got it. Let's go now to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yvonne is with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Yvonne. Thanks for calling.
Hey, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You're getting ready for this great night.
Well, I have two stories on, and I think I picked the one where I died.
All right, take the one you want.
So I have a lot of experiences throughout my whole entire life, over 40 years worth of supernatural, ghosts, all kinds of things. But in 2006, I was riding a horse, and I had no premonition of what was about to happen, but I got thrown from the horse, and I had whiplash because I landed. I guess I was out, and it landed on my head and shoulder.
Oh, ouch!
So I had a concussion, a lacerated liver, a collapsed right lung, broken ribs, and broken shoulder blades. And I was in the hospital for 10 days. I was in a coma for the first 3. So I was home for October, November, and December of 2006. And during that time, I was seeing movement in the house, and I was used to that. I was used to seeing movement, no big deal. But it got to be every day, multiple times a day. So at one point in December, I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm telling my boyfriend, I said, look, I'm either having an ocular disturbance, or I'm going crazy, or something of the spirit of the supernatural world, you know, hanging out in the house here with us.
Right.
I said, because right now I see clear bodies rolling on top of each other like a carpet on the floor.
Wow.
So the whole entire floor was just clear bodies rolling on top of each other. And I went to meet to two mediums later on, a few years after that, and they mentioned that my boyfriend was a sight eater, which I had never heard of before.
He was a what was he?
I had a hard time too initially. A psych eater.
Psych feeder. All right, for a moment, Yvonne, I thought you said he was a wife beater.
No.
Don't want that.
A psych eater. So when I told him about the bodies on the floor, he got instantly angry, and they all disappeared, and all movement in the house stopped for almost a year.
Huh.
So we understand now that it's like he's somebody who actually encounters energy and diminishes energy.
And when you said almost a year, has it come back or it's gone?
No, it's back. We have tons of stories since then. Yeah.
All right. Well, you take care of yourself. You know, I always say, hey, get the medical thing taken care of first. Who knows what's going on in your brain? But once that's ruled out, look out paranormal. Let's go to Greg in Calgary, Canada. Hey, Greg, it's your turn.
How's it going, George?
Good, Greg. Thank you. What do you got for us?
I have a terrifying story. All my life I've seen entities, and they've never done anything to me. They just hung around, never bothered me. But this one time, I was 17 years old, and my best friend had asked me if I would house sit for his mother. They were all leaving to go into Calgary. We were in a small town at that time. And I said, yeah, sure, no problem. So the day they left, it was winter, the day they left, we had the worst blizzard I've ever seen in my life, and it knocked out all the power in the whole entire town.
Okay.
The phone lines and the power lines were separate, so I was talking with my girlfriend on the phone for about 4 hours. I decided to go to bed, so I had a dog with me, a Doberman, that lived in the house. So I walked down the hallway, picked the last bedroom. It had the biggest bed, so I laid down to go to sleep. I was just about there, and every door in the hallway started slamming. Well, yeah. But my friends knew that I was there alone, so I thought, oh, okay. So I got out of bed, and I ripped the door open, and I screamed, and there was, like, nobody there. So I went looking around the house. Nothing. Nobody. Just me and the dog. So that creeped me out. So I lit the candles again, and I would phone my girlfriend again. And the dog started going absolutely crazy. It started trying to get in behind me and whimpering and whining. And we were both on the couch. Then it jumped off the couch and tried to get under the couch. It was clawing at the floor. And I said to my girlfriend, I said, this dog is crazy. And just as I said that, something moved out of the corner of my eye. And I looked up. And there was this thing standing there at the end of the dining room table, just staring at me. And I kind of stood up and threw the phone at it. And it must have went through it or missed it because it banged against the wall.
What did the thing look like?
It was pitch black. It was
like a blob?
No, like a person.
Ah, all right.
Yeah, a man. And as I looked at it, I felt instant terror, like I was about to die. So something in my head said, run. And then it said, run fast. So
yes, very
fast. Bolted out of the house, right? And like I'm saying, it was a blizzard, so all the roads were snowdrifts like crazy. I ran all the way to the RCMP station. And the town cop and two constables were there, and I told them that there was somebody in the house. So they came with me to the house. We had to walk. It was about two blocks, and the two constables went in, and I waited outside with the town cop.
Hold the story right there, Greg, and we'll pick it up with the constables going into the house when we come right back on Ghost to Ghost. Okay, so we're going to go back to Greg in Calgary, Canada, and to give you a quick little refresher of his story involved in a massive blizzard. The power was out. He was lying down in bed, and doors were opening and closing in his place, and he was freaking out. He saw a ghostly figure of a shadow person, ran to the constable, which is the Canadian police, and said, look, there's somebody in my house. They came back with him, and Greg, I'll let you pick it up from there.
All right, so the two constables went up to the front door, opened up the door. They announced Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Is there anyone in the house? There was no response. So the constables went in and started to search the top floor. A couple minutes later, one of the constables came to the door and asked both me and the town officer to come in. So we went in and we went right into the kitchen. That's where he led us. And the officer that was in there shone his flashlight onto the countertop closest to the dining room. And all of the butcher knives were laid out on the counter, smallest to biggest. And he looked at me and he said, did you do this? And I said, no, that's creepy. Why would I do that? So whatever. So while we were talking about that, a constable went down into the basement. And then he asked all of us to come down there. So we went down into the basement. And right when you get to the bottom, there's a very long hallway and a big metal door, okay? And the big metal door was wide open, and there was this massive, like, 4-foot snowdrift in the basement. So that was really unsettling. We searched around the yard. The only tracks leaving the house were mine, and I didn't think about the dog. And I told the constables there was a dog here. So we looked for dog tracks. And the way the trees sheltered around the house, you would be able to see that because the wind is less around the house. And there was no tracks at all, and the dog was never found.
Never. Oh.
No. I know.
Just taken.
I feel so bad.
Jeez. That is, that's chilling, Greg. Hey, thanks for that story. Whoa. Okay, who's up next? It's Saeed in Montana, first-time caller. Saeed, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening.
Hi.
Well, I grew up in Los Angeles, but I have family ties here in Montana. I come to visit Montana every summer, particularly Virginia City, which used to be the capital in the territory.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's more than a ghost town. It's kind of the town of ghosts. I was about 5 years old the first time that we came up here. My mom was doing costumes for the summer theater, and they had housed us in this cabin, two-story cabin, next to the infamous Bonanza Hotel. Now, the second story of this house, most of it was sunken into the ground, kind of like a cellar. So the walls from the inside, as you looked from the out, were all the windows were up high, but they were at ground level on the outside. And my bedroom had one of those windows up high, up above my bed. My sister and I shared a bedroom. And there was one Bonanza hotel room that was separate from the actual hotel itself, just a small cabin. And it runs in my nut that it was Bonanza number 3. I don't know why that number sticks out to me, but I remember darn near every night hearing screaming at around the same time. I was a pretty light sleeper as a kid.
Yeah.
About 11 to midnight, and just hearing blood-curdling screaming coming from that particular outbuilding through my window. Well, I wanted, as soon as possible, to switch places with my sister, switch beds. And as soon as I did, she started hearing the screaming.
Huh.
And by the end of the summer, we must have been experiencing psychosis of some sort. I mean, we had painted our walls all white and splattered them red and black and just paint splatters. My mother was horrified.
Thought you both lost it.
Yeah, and it certainly felt like we were. And, you know, being Muslim, I thought that, maybe it's jinn, you know.
Yeah, the jinn, that's right, exactly.
Just being mischievous and kind of messing with the kids. But we went back to L.A., and I've been all over the western states, and I, no matter where I go, this is how I'm convinced that I'm kind of haunted as a person, I see a woman in a nightgown with kind of a longer version of a Dutch boy haircut, and her eyes are non-existent. There might as well be black cobwebs in the eye sockets.
Oh, that's scary.
What looks like black lipstick that's been smeared on rather than put on to any accuracy. And, you know, I've kind of been afraid of the dark. I'm 28 years old now. So
yeah,
for the last 23 years, it's in times of stress is when I seem to encounter this woman more often, to the point where inducing old hag syndrome, kind of.
Do you have to keep a light on at night, Syd?
Well, anymore it's gotten to the point where I'll just leave the radio on my cell phone, and that's enough light.
That does it for you, yeah.
But as I go through the house, if I have to get up to pee at night or something, I have to turn on every light to get there. And, yeah, it's just been an unsettling experience.
Oh, it really, it really is. A lot of people have
it happen. What's that?
A lot of people have these weird things happen to themselves.
Yeah. Well, I was pretty convinced, you know, after I started having the visions that there's no way this is Jin, you know, not that they're describable physically, but, it was too human. It's just hard to describe, but I'm getting jittery just talking about it.
Well, when you go to bed tonight, just turn on that light or make sure that smartphone is out. Saeed, thank you for the call. Mike is in Wisconsin. Mike, welcome to Ghost. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hello there.
Yeah, I got this story about something that happened to me on October 31st, 2001.
All right. What happened?
At that day, I went to a cemetery that my dad was buried at, and I laid on his grave. It was at night. It was a full moon. It was partly cloudy. And I thought I seen something out of the corner of my eye, but I looked, didn't see anything. But when I looked back up into the clouds, I saw my dad's face for 15 minutes.
Wow.
And the thing was, I wasn't scared, but I was completely at peace.
I bet you would be. Did anybody else see this or just you?
Just me.
Just you. 15 minutes is a long, long time.
I know.
And what happened? It dissipated after that? The cloud did, or just the face popped away?
The face just dissipated.
What do you think the message was?
I think my dad was telling me to be strong and that he loves me.
Yeah. It worked, didn't it?
Yep.
People have these signs, these visions, and they come at any time. Another text from our ghost text phone, Tom.
This is from Gerald. I live in Florida in the Panhandle, and every Halloween, without fail, some very scary, weird things happen to the point that I fear for my life. Is it possible that geographical location plays a role in where evil dwells?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's very possible that, for example, Gettysburg is, I think, full of ghosts issues because of the tragedy that happened there. So if something happened where you are, there's a good possibility that something has been and is going on. Absolutely.
So they decide where they're going to go and appear?
Well, something happened there and they haven't left.
Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, somebody was murdered out there in the woods or something.
Good stuff.
Who knows? Who knows? Halloween. I remember last Halloween, getting ready before Ghost to Ghost. I took a bucket of candy before I had to move on and leave and put it on the porch. And it was the honor system. The honor system, indeed. And I put the bucket out there, and I know I don't have a lot of kids out in this neighborhood. And I had this bucket. It must have been about a foot tall, full of candy bars. huge. I was sure I was going to have many left for myself. I came back after the show, gone. Gone. The honor system. I may do that again tomorrow night. Let's go next to Stacy in Massachusetts. Hi, Stace. Welcome to the program.
Hi. So when I was younger, the movie Three Men and a Baby came out, but I never got to go. But I was somewhere, I forgot where, and people that went to see it was talking about the house they filmed the movie in. The kid didn't want his parents to donate the house to the movie producer,
huh.
So he shot himself.
No way.
Yeah, so the people that was watching the movie could see his outline looking in the window while the movie is being filmed with a gun in his hand. So years later, when I was a teenager, I had a sleepover at my friend's house, and she was watching that movie, and her sister was sitting watching the movie with us, and I told them about it. And her sister, Jen, said, "What window?" I said, "I don't know. I was told one of the windows in the houses," and she saw it. And she stayed with us all night. And her mother told me the next day, "I heard you tell Jen about that. I heard about it too, but I didn't want to tell her."
Wow, that's freaky, Stacy. There's another movie out there. Do you remember, Stacy, the movie Two Men and a Baby? I think Tom Selleck was in that movie.
Yeah.
There were reports, and you might want to Google this, that in the movie, in a certain frame, you will see the spirit of a little boy.
Oh, that's the one I'm talking about. I made a mistake. Sorry.
Right.
I meant
Two Men and a Baby. Same one then. Yeah. Okay. Good. I was thinking Hollywood did it twice. Wow. But it's the honest to goodness truth. You got to look at that movie somehow. And there's a scene in there. It might even be on YouTube. I'm not sure. Put in Two Men and a Baby, Ghost Boy, and see if it pops up. It really is kind of freaky. Gene is in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Welcome to the show, Gene. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, George.
Sure thing.
Yeah, I'm a former sailor like you. I served in Vietnam with the Marine Forces.
Well, thank you for serving. I didn't go to Vietnam, but thank you for what you went through.
Well, thank you, brother. Anyway, I got back in 73, January, and got hospitalized, and then they sent me back to hospital corps school because they didn't know anything about being a corpsman. I was a great combat medic, but
yeah.
Anyway, I got stationed in Pensacola, and
I was there for a while. I loved it.
Yeah, it was a great base.
It sure is.
It was awesome. I was trying to get my paramedic license, my national registry. So I was working the night shift in the emergency room of the old hospital. Now, it was built in the 1890s, and at one point it had been under fire by the Spanish during the Spanish-American War. They pulled a gunboat up by it and
that's
fired
right.
on the hospital.
Yeah.
But it had a wall, went all the way around. It was 12 feet tall, and the theory was insects couldn't fly that high, so they were trying to prevent malaria. So anyhow, I was working night shift, and this LPN was working medical ward. I really liked her a lot. So there was nothing going on in the emergency room. And I took off and went up to the third floor of the hospital to see her. Well, I got to the ward, and she was really busy. So I just said, well, I'll see you later. And I took off, and I was walking back towards there was a stairwell at each end of the hospital wing, and I was walking towards the wing that was to the east, and that hospital had been used to treat tuberculosis patients at one time.
Okay,
a lot of people had passed away there, so I was walking by, and we were still geared up for warfare, you know, for hospitalization for patients coming from war zone. And I walked by this empty ward, and I heard something, and I thought, that's weird. And I looked around, there was nobody behind me. I walked up to the entrance to the ward. It was just a wing off of the passageway, and it had a double steel door with wire mesh windows, wire mesh glass windows. And I thought I saw something down there. No lights on, but I saw something. So I just stood there and waited. And something, I can't describe it to this day. I can't tell you what it is. This yellowish glowing orb, about 3 feet in diameter, was floating down the ward towards the door. And it was translucent. And it was about the height of a man's chest, walking at a, just kept going at a walking pace.
Huh.
I backed up very quickly.
I would too.
I got into the main hallway, and I just can't see this. So both the doors swung open towards me. It came down the hall after through the open doors, turned and went to the west stairway. The stairway door in front of it opened. It went in the stairway and closed the door. I was just, my hair was standing on end.
Oh, my God.
And I was panicked, so I ran to the east floor, or the east stairway, down my buggy to the emergency room. I go inside, and the chief petty officer who was running the ward, the emergency room, he says, he says, man, he says, you look like you just saw a ghost. Now, he knew I'd been a combat hospital corpsman, and not a lot scared me.
No, you saw it everything.
All day long, every day.
Yep.
And I said, I just saw something, Chief. I can't explain it. He said, Did you see the yellow orb? I said, what? He says, yeah. He says, everybody who works night shift here, we've all seen it.
Wow.
And I said, what do you think it is? He said, I have no idea. He said, don't worry about it. It never touches anybody or bothers them.
I
was just panicked. I wouldn't go to the third
That's
floor
a great story.
Anything. I mean, just, I would not go.
I love it. Gene, thanks for listening to the show. Where are you situated? Are you at home or where are you right
now? Yeah, I'm at home. I'm home in China. I retired last January.
Best time. You got the lights down, maybe a little candlelight going?
Yes, sir.
That's the way to do it. Okay, Gene, thanks. Enjoy the rest of the program. A couple more hours to go of incredible ghost-to-ghost stories. Gosh, I remember we had a call in on a ghost story in a hospital where people would see this old man just walking down the hallways all the time, all the time. All the patients would see this person. It was kind of jarring indeed. You know, we talk a lot about the Twilight Zone. There was one out there called Nothing in the Dark with Robert Redford, a very young Robert Redford. I think it was as his career was just starting. And he played the role of death, trying to visit a woman who was petrified of dying. And she was convinced that he was death because he wanted to come in, and he was a police officer who was apparently shot, and he needed help. He needed to get in, and she wouldn't let him in. Well, she finally let him in, and, of course, I'm not going to tell you what happened at the end, but she was petrified of death, and after a while, she wasn't petrified anymore. But Robert Redford was death. So in addition to our ghost-to-ghost open lines, here's a special topic line next hour, 818-817-0021. Remember the number, 818-817-0021. Check in with us if you've ever seen Mr. Death.